God is doing amazing things around, and I believe this, it's time for your breakthrough as well. Come on. And I believe that God gave me this word for all of us, because as I've been walking and touring and around Australia, I realized that there is such a heaviness here. It's almost like I don't know how many people I prayed for with battling with discouragement, battling with depression. Some of the young people were even having suicidal thoughts. It was like an overwhelming sense of just an oppression on the people, even in marriages, just so much like things going on spiritually. And I felt like the word that the Lord had for us is to remind us in Isaiah 59, it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. You need to be encouraged today that when you feel overwhelmed by life, the Lord is going to give you an anointing to overcome. God has called us to be overcomers. Come on. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell him you're an overcomer? God's not called us to quit and give up. It's to overcome. Okay? And I want to encourage us, how do we get a breakthrough when we feel like we're stuck in a cave? Because when all these things hit us, we feel like we're so down and we just want to hide in a cave, you know, of despair. But the Lord has not called us as believers to hide in caves of despair. Come on. He's called us to walk out in faith. Come on. Are you guys here this morning? Okay. And I just, you know, I don't know, a couple months ago, in Thailand, you heard about that cave, amazing cave rescue, right? And these 13 boys, you know, were stuck in the cave for, I don't know, about over 10 days. And about 90 divers, you know, were going in the cave about 1 kilometer long, up and down, you know, going through. And I was asking my son, who's a naval diver, I said, how impossible is this? He says, Dad, cave diving is one of the most dangerous dives you can ever do, because you can't see, you know, in front of you, and you don't know what, you know, how it goes, you know, up and down. And we all know that even one diver died in the process. But it's amazing that these boys were saved. Can you imagine just being stuck in a cave for that long? The feeling of you're going to die. You don't know what's going to happen, how you're going to get out. But can you imagine when they saw the divers come out of the water and to save them, that feeling of, we're saved, we're saved. That's the feeling I want you to experience today. This is the hope that we have in Jesus. No matter how difficult your situation is today, when Jesus comes in our life, all of a sudden we realize we're saved. There is hope for tomorrow. We can get the breakthrough. Come on. All right. And so I want to encourage us, because a couple of years ago, my wife and I got to go to Israel. We brought a team from the church, and we got to go into the cave of Adullam. We're not exactly sure where it was, but our tour guide said, this is probably the place. And we're like, yeah, right. Okay. We'll give you, no, anyway, he was pretty sure. He was this Israeli guy, and he says, we were pretty sure. And because of years of erosion, actually, you know, it's smaller than what it used to be, but it was still pretty big. Okay, this cave. And it was amazing that in this cave, we know the story that David was hiding from King Saul. He was trying to, you know, I believe that Adullam means, you know, refuge. And so he was trying to hide, you know, from King Saul. And it was that cave that was supposed to bring that protection for him. It was in this cave that also 400 discouraged, in debt men came around David to seek refuge as well. And so I wanted to use this story to help us understand how to get out of the cave. Okay, in Psalm 57, verse 1 and 2, it says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for you in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. Till the storms of destruction pass by, I cry out to God Most High, the God who fulfills His purpose for me. David is singing this song of saying, you know, yes, you know, in you, Lord God, I take refuge. My soul takes refuge in the shadow of your wing. I take refuge until these storms, all these accusations that King Saul wants to kill me, until all these storms pass by. So he understands that his refuge is in God. So that's the first thing we have to understand. In order to break out of the cave, you've got to take your refuge in God. The word refuge is a shelter, protection from danger, trouble. You got to understand that when situations, storms of life, economy, you may not have jobs, there's family issues that's crumbling all around you. Take your refuge. Hold on to the promises of God, that God is faithful. His word says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. In the midst of things that are overwhelming, hold on to God. It goes on in Psalms 56, David says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. I trust I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? When he was probably reflecting in this cave and understanding, whoa, you know, all this opposition is coming against me. These 400 discouraged men come in here and trying to seek for my help as well. And maybe they're criticizing David as well. And so he's in this cave in this situation. He's probably remembering, oh man, you know, I trust in the Lord. You know, I'm not going to be afraid of man, because what can flesh do to me? Maybe he was reflecting on his time with David, you know, when he faced Goliath. And maybe that time of, if he's remembering, man, if God can help me defeat Goliath, man, then, you know, God can help me in this situation. And I love that whole story of, you know, David and Goliath, you know, where David says, you come against me with sword and spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that whole picture was giving David a memory that, man, you can overcome your giants in life. There's nothing that's impossible for the Lord. And so I want to encourage you, even as David was trying to encourage himself, I can make this. I'm taking my refuge in God. God is with me and for me. You know, in times of hopelessness and despair, you've got to look up. You've got to understand that we serve a great and a mighty God. My son was, you know, when he was in Tokyo, he was saying there were five things that were setbacks in his life. My son is short, you know, he's like 5'2" tall. He said that he got bullied in school. He was put in the worst group, you know, in national service with all the gangsters. You know, so he was in that environment. I mean, there was other things. He almost failed in school. There were so many setbacks in his life. But he said he remembered the prayers that we prayed, that I prayed with him. I had this set prayer as a dad, you know, when they were growing up with my boys. It was, I'm the hammer and not the nail. I succeed and not fail. I can do all things through Christ. It gives me strength. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, patience, and self-control. Come on, we can make it. You know, that was our prayer every night. And he would say that it was in times of difficulty, he would remember those prayers. But he also remembered the faith stories that we told him, and it helped him through those times of difficulty. And he said that now when he looks back to those moments, he says that it's like faith stories and foundations of faith. The Lord brought him through those difficult seasons. He knows that nothing's too difficult for the Lord. And now he says he can talk to CEOs, and now he can talk to gangsters. He has no issues. There's actually, my oldest son has a lot of confidence, I think more than me. But, you know, God is using him, but he used him through those difficult seasons. I like Psalms 91. It says, because he holds fast it to me in my love, I will deliver him. I'll protect him because he knows my name. When he calls upon me, I will answer him. I'll be within trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you look there are six I wills that the Lord says over us. If you dare to love him, if you dare to hold on to him as your refuge, the Lord promises, I will deliver you. I will protect you. I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue you and satisfy you. Come on, this is the promise of God. Hold on, hold on. It doesn't matter how long the difficulty is, that cave of despair, what's going on. Hold on to him. That's what David was doing in that cave, in the midst of the cave. Why was he doing that? Because the men were so critical. Look at this in verse 4 and 7. He says, my soul is in the midst of lions. Who is the lions? These were the 400 discouraged men. I lie down amidst the fiery beasts, the children of men, those whose teeth are like spears and arrows, whose tongues are like sharp swords. Man, can you imagine that? He's describing maybe their words of criticism. Ah, David, we came to you. I thought you would help us. I thought you would would feed us. I thought you're a great leader. Oh, how come you're not doing this? How come you're not saving us? Can you imagine the swords? You know, you said, you know, God's with you. Where is God? Come on, you know, can you imagine? Just the nagging coming out. And it was just so discouraging for David. But he says, David says, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. What do you do when all of this opposition comes against you? He says, you know, that you need to just be steadfast and strengthen your soul. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Come on, you listen to the lie and you walk out and you empower, you, what is it that you... You empower the lie. You know, you listen to the lie. You empower the lie. Don't listen to the lie. Come on. You need to just reflect and know how God, how great our God is. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strengthen your soul. You know, in this season, I've been going around and praying for many, many people. I'm just realizing how many people, are, especially as Christians, their soul is so wounded, just battered by life, accusations, criticisms. I just came back from Canberra yesterday, and yeah, you know, they need a lot of prayer. There's a lot of things going on, but a lot of negative words just being spoken on people. And we had to break that off of people, break that. But you know, the moment we started breaking those verbal curses off of people, you should see their faces, husbands and wives just looking up and begin to look at each other. And man, now with hope again that our marriage can be restored. It was like children, you know, and we began to break that off of them. All of a sudden they were saying, man, I need to be reconciled with my parents. You know, it was like an amazing experience of just people just realizing, man, I need to walk in forgiveness. I need to believe that I can make it in life. It's just so amazing what the Lord can do. Come on, we need to strengthen our soul. There is so much accusation, you know, in Singapore especially, you know, there's a lot of bullying going on the internet and things like that. But maybe you're facing that in life. Maybe people have said that over you. It could be parents or authority figures. Maybe culturally, you know, in this environment, they're putting you down. And let me tell you, come on, God never puts us down. And I want to encourage you, this is only the enemy trying to destroy the giftings and the purpose and the call of God on your life. Don't let the enemy win. Even more so when you face and experience just the opposition of the enemy, move forward in faith. Come on, walk in faith and be the leader that God has called you to be. Are you here this morning? Okay. In 2011, I probably was the worst year of my life. It was in the midst of, we were buying this training center for $8 million. And can you imagine, you're buying a training center like that? You're having to make payments, and we had to make $375,000 payments every 6 months. And we were desperately crying out, oh, Lord, come through, come through. And then I said, you know, don't worry. I was telling the leaders, don't worry. I know God's going to come through. I believe it so much that I'm willing to sell my house. You know, that's how much I believe God's going to come through. And then my wife rebuked me when I went home later. How dare you say that? Where are we going to live? And I was like, don't worry, Elaine. God's going to come through. That's why I was definitely, God, come through, come through. Otherwise, my wife's going to be mad at me the rest of my life, you know? Okay, anyway. But God supernaturally came through. Last month, we paid it off. Come on, we're debt-free. $8 million. Woo! God is so good. But in 2011, it was the worst year of my life. We were making those payments, desperately crying out to God. We had an issue, you know, with one of my kids, and it was just causing just a lot of stress for us. And then in the midst of that, Elaine's father had passed away. The worst year of my life. You know, I just felt I was in the worst cave season of my life. Towards the end of the year, we went to Israel. As we went to Israel, I was desperately crying out to God. I said, God, I need a word. I need a word. And I looked up in the sky and I saw this in the shape of a cloud. I saw the letter L, and some of you are saying, loser. Okay, it wasn't loser. Okay. What the Lord spoke to me is saying, Larry, I love you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. But I did think it was loser at first. Okay, anyway. But then the Lord reminded me of Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Oh, man, that's the great thing about God. when you just reflect on how great he is, he just restores our soul in the midst of accusation, in the midst of hardships and struggle all around. You just reflect on who God is and he strengthens our soul. He restores our soul and he heals our soul. Some of us, we just need to take a step back and just reflect how great our God is. He's so awesome and mighty. And I just want to encourage you, if he can create the whole universe, man, surely he can create a miracle for you. Come on. Amen. In 1 Peter, it says in 1 Peter 5:9, it says, resist him, stand firm in the faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brothers, a brotherhood around throughout the world. You know, I don't know if that encourages you or not. It's like, oh, great, God, you know, everybody else is suffering. I guess I'm suffering too. So I don't know if that really encourages you. But let me tell you, as I travel around and I just go encourage people, I had the opportunity to go to South Korea in February and just encourage our brother there. Our church, you know, is in the midst of growing, and there's just that setbacks, you know, that the pastor was having. I think they're running maybe about 70, 80 people, and it's just been a hard season for him. And in the midst of that, I was trying to encourage him. I said, Lord, what can I share with him? I know he's going through so much. So I just said, you know, bro, you know, I'm in Singapore, but you know, there was a season in my life I was having death threats. You know, people wanted, you know, this guy wanted to kill me, but I still persevered. I overcame that. Eventually the guy left the church. I'm saying, thank you, Lord. You know, anyway, okay. But I went through a difficult season, and then I was hoping that would encourage the guy. And the guy said, the pastor says, oh, Pastor Larry, you also got death threats? And I said, yeah, I get death threats. And he says, oh, I also get death threats. And I said, oh, really? What did you go through? He says, well, this North Korean guy pulled me in the toilet and he put a pencil to my neck. And he says, if you expose me, I will kill you. And then I said, okay, yours is death threats. Mine was just verbal accusation. Okay. So here I am trying to encourage this guy. This guy encouraged me. Oh, my goodness. So yes, we resist the devil. He will flee. And you know, I'm so encouraged by, you know, our brothers and sisters around the world. So I'm encouraged by you guys too, in the midst of even this 4% Christians in this environment in Singapore. We're still growing. Come on, look at this. We're growing as a church. This is so encouraging. Come on. God is doing an amazing work. So we need to strengthen our soul. Don't get discouraged just because you don't understand the purpose of the valley. Sometimes, you know, you're in the cave for a long period of time. Maybe 1 year, 2 years. You know, here's sometimes our prayers take a long time, right? You know, here's a picture of this one lady. We had a life group with her and her husband. And we were praying for years for her family members. Her brother was actually, you know, very far. Anytime she mentioned anything about Jesus, he would get so angry. You know, he was from a Buddhist religion. And so he was very angry. You know, he says, don't mention anything about God or Jesus or anything. And so we were praying and praying and praying. Last year, her niece accepts the Lord. That's her right there. She accepted the Lord, and they came and visited the church in Singapore. And so we took a picture with them, or they took this picture. And in April, Elaine and I went to our Bangkok and to speak in our Bangkok church. And this niece says, why don't you come, you know, hear this pastor from Singapore, because the dad's Singaporean. So he says, why don't you come hear this pastor from Singapore? So he comes to church. Come on. And you know what? He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Come on. When I prayed for him to receive Jesus, I was crying more than he did. You know, I was crying because we were praying years and years and years for him. And I said, bro, you are an answer to prayer. We've been praying years for you. And of course, maybe he had a little tear, but it was not as much. I was just bawling. I was a mess. I was bawling. I was just saying, thank you, Lord. It doesn't matter how long, you know, the prayers take. God will answer prayers. Come on. It doesn't matter how difficult the valley season or the cave that you're in. The Lord is faithful to come through. Come on. All right. Well, and the verse, okay, the chapter here in Psalm 57, in verse 9, it says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will give praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, be above the heavens. Let your glory be above the earth. You know, this is David crying out, you know, in the midst of all the accusation, in the midst of all these guys wanting to kill him, in the midst of the cave, King Saul, he's hiding from King Saul, wanting to kill him. David is crying out and he's crying praise. Let me tell you, there is power in praise. In the worst season of my life, when I was thinking of ending my life at 19 years old, and I called my mom and said, Mom, I'm going to kill myself and end it all. I thought I'd tell you before I do it. I thought my mom would say, take the first flight home. We'll take care of you. She didn't say that. She said, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you, you need to thank God for what you're going through. And I said, what? Thank God for what I'm going through? You're crazy. And I slammed down the phone. But then I thought, well, I'm going to end my life anyway. I might as well give God one last chance. So I knelt down in my dorm room in my college, and I just started praising God and acknowledging God. I said, God, you're an awesome God. You're an amazing God. And for the first time in my life, I felt this warm presence come in the room. I felt his arms of love just love and accept me for who I was, a wicked sinner. And I started bawling like a baby. I said, God, if you can forgive a wicked person like me, I'll serve you the rest of my life. Come on. That was 19 years old. And now I'm 25 and I'm still serving the Lord. Come on. God is so good. Okay. And this is, I'll just end with this story of King Jehoshaphat, you know, and this is the word, you know, getting out of the cave, the key is stay thankful. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, King Jehoshaphat, God told King Jehoshaphat when he was facing an army of three armies coming against him, he said, you will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow you'll go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. And I felt like I needed to put this in there because this is a word from the Lord for all of us. Don't worry. Doesn't matter what the opposition is against you, what's going on in your marriage or things with your children or some things you're facing in school, at workplace. Come on, it doesn't matter the cave. This is what the Lord's saying to you today. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Because when you go out there tomorrow, the Lord God will be with you. And it goes on and it says, and when they began to sing praise, come on, when we begin to sing praises, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir when they had come against Judah, so they were routed. The Lord defeated the enemy. Come on. And let me tell you, when the 400 disgruntled, discouraged, in debt men went to the cave and were criticizing David and getting on his case, they saw something about David. David was worshiping the Lord and he was saying, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Be exalted, O God, above the earth. Let your glory be above all of the earth. And they acknowledge and they realize, oh, there's something different about David. David, you know, most normal leaders would probably scold them or criticize them back, but David didn't. He worshiped and acknowledged God. And these 400 discouraged men said, man, David's strength is not in his talent. It's not in his ability. No, his strength is in the Lord. Oh, we better follow this God too. And so these 400 discouraged men came out of the cave, David's mighty men, come on. And these mighty men did incredible things. One, it says he defeated 1,000 men and he fought so hard that his hand froze to his sword. They did incredible things. Another one ripped apart a lion. Come on, the Lord is going to use us mightily if we dare to get out of the cave of despair. If we dare to get out of that cave of discouragement and walk differently from the environment that's around us, and we say, I serve a God that can do the impossible, and we're going to walk out victorious if we take refuge in God, strengthen our soul, and we stay thankful. The Lord's going to use this church in incredible ways to set the captives free. Come on, can we stand up together? I want to pray for us. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for a new anointing on this church, a new anointing of your power, a new anointing of your strength. Right now, I come against the attacks of the enemy, trying to bind people and keep them in a cave of discouragement, a cave of thinking, man, we're only going to be this small. No, in Jesus' name, God, you have called your people to know you and to do great exploits. And so, Lord God, I pray today, Lord, let faith arise on our hearts to believe, Lord God, that we're going to see breakthrough, that you're going to do great and mighty things in our life, that, Lord God, we're going to see, Lord God, miracles in this place in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, I just pray a blessing on this church. Thank you so much, Lord God, for your greater anointing of power and strength. I thank you, Lord God, that we're going to walk out of this place, Lord, as like the 400 mighty men. We're going to do great and mighty things for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord God, for greatness upon your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise.